Good evening. I don't know if you can hear me. My name is Matias Espinel. My family and I, we are missionaries in Uruguay since the year 2012. I was born and raised here in Uruguay. I grew up in a Christian, semi-Christian home. My mom was a Christian. My dad was not a Christian, so I grew up going to church. And I got saved here in Uruguay. Later on, when I was around, when I was 20, 21 years old, around 20, I had the opportunity to go to the States to study at Bob Jones University. I spent 8 years there. I met my wife there. And we're thankful to be back here in Uruguay serving. I just got a message saying we hear you loud and clear, so I think we're good. I just want to give you a quick update. I thank you, first of all, for the opportunity to share with you a few things that are going on here in Uruguay. As you can imagine, the last 12 months, the last 14 months, for us here in Uruguay has been similar to what has happened in the States. Since March of 2020, basically our lives here turned upside down with a lot of lockdowns and not being able to meet for a while with our church. We were not able to have any kind of ministry in person, so we moved everything to online services, online classes for a college. So as you can imagine, some of the things that you are going through right there, we're going the same thing we're doing here in Uruguay. But we're thankful to the Lord that we are actually able to continue ministering. Last year was a learning experience for many of us, all of us, I guess, to help to move your ministry to a virtual type of setting, having all the services, prayer meetings, everything had to be moved online. But we're thankful that the church was able to adjust pretty quickly and many people helped. And it's not the same. I'm glad to see some of you there tonight in the service. And we have some people in our church, they haven't been in church since March of 2020. And I always say it's necessary for believers to be together. We need that. It's great to have this connection through online services, but we need that fellowship. I need it. I was preaching this morning. I was telling the people in the church, I need this time. I need it personally to be with all of you. And, so we are thankful that we are able to do it. I think Pastor Turner was mentioning a few things. We're involved in a Bible college here in Uruguay. When we arrived in the year 2012, I was able to contact a few pastors that I had been in contact with before here in Uruguay. And we talked about the idea of starting a Bible college. And when we arrived in 2012, things developed pretty fast. People got interested really quickly and they got on board. And I think that was the reason why the school was developed and we were able to start teaching classes really quickly. So we spent about 2 years developing the idea of the college, taking ideas from other colleges, preparing materials and getting all registered with the government, get everything in the organization. That took about 2 years of that. And 2 years later, we started classes in our school, 2014. And so we have 3 graduations already. Hopefully this year is going to be our 4th one. Well, 2020, we didn't have a graduation. We had a simple meeting, with the only graduate we had that year. We hope that this 2021 will have a bigger graduation, hopefully. So we are involved in the Bible College. And by God's grace, we were serving in different churches when we arrived in Uruguay. Never taking charge of any ministry by helping a local pastor. And about 3 years ago, a church approached us because the pastor moved to another location to pastor another church. And they asked us if we could go and help them. And I asked the church if, well, I told them I would like to go, but I would like to bring one of our graduates from our school to help in the ministry. And that was a great blessing, honestly. It is great to spend time with the students in the classroom for 4 years, and you teach them different things and lots of theory and lots of theology and philosophy of ministry, but then it's completely different when you have to put it into practice. So this experience has been extremely beneficial to have one of our graduates come to the church. Actually, the church has a parsonage, so he lives in the property with his wife and their baby, their 3-year-old son. And so it has been absolutely great. For me, it's a joy to have one of my students be one of my co-workers now and working together, and has been such a blessing. So we are helping that church. At this point, we were having around 50 people in general on Sunday before COVID. Now after COVID, we're about 50% of that. Many are not coming because of COVID, and we hope things will change soon. We'll have our church full again, as before COVID. So that's pretty much what we're doing. I don't know if you would like to give the opportunity for anybody to ask questions. If there are no questions, that's no problem at all. Maybe you can ask questions. I'm not sure if you're able to ask the questions from there.
Matthias, we are not set up to ask questions.
Okay, that's great. Okay, well, thank you for listening to that part. I forgot to mention, we would love to be back in the States, hopefully next year, 2022, and it's in our plan to visit New Jersey. I didn't mention that my wife is from New Jersey, but she's from the other New Jersey, the one that's North Jersey. But that's still New Jersey, I guess. But we would love to go to New Jersey again and visit some, many of our friends in Hardingville. It's a church that we really appreciate. I haven't met Pastor Turner. I would like to do that soon, but I have great memories. Great memories from Hardingville and Franklin's, always remember them, and many others from the church. So we look forward. Hopefully we'll be able to visit you all, 2022, Lord willing. That's what we are planning to do. So if you ever want to write a message, sometimes, we get some messages from people, emails. Feel free to email us, or we're on Facebook, Instagram. Just message us, whatever you want to talk about or chat. We'll love to be in contact with all of you. As missionaries, one of the things that we enjoy doing when we visit the churches in the States is to, even the churches here in Uruguay, is to encourage people to consider missions. Pastor Turner mentioned how he was impressed with the church when he arrived about the interest in missions and the focus in missions. Well, having been in the States myself, even though I didn't grow up there, but I saw the emphasis in the churches for the missions work, and having been from Uruguay and not seeing that emphasis in the churches here, it is something that is a burden for me for the Uruguayan churches to understand that missions is for us as well. Many times we think of missions for something that other countries do to Uruguay, but there is not that mentality of Uruguayans supporting missions worldwide or even sending missionaries to other countries. And we are working towards that and trying to teach people in that area. So we're trying to encourage people about the missions work all around the world. We encourage people to pray, to give, to go, whatever the Lord wants for them. Also, we encourage people in the churches to consider coming and helping us here in Uruguay. We are involved in a Bible college and we are constantly meeting new teachers, new professors. If we have anybody that will be interested in missions and has any training in theology and training in music, especially, we need a lot of help with that. We would love to have you. But we know that the Lord is still calling people, even during these times when traveling is a little bit crazy. I know the Lord is still calling people to go to the mission field. And let me encourage you to have that mentality of considering missions, to obviously pray for missions, for missionaries, to give when you're able to go when you're able to, and even considering to make that a lifelong goal to be on the mission field serving the Lord. So some may say, well, I know the Lord doesn't want me to go to another country. I need to be here in this area of New Jersey, close to Philadelphia. The Lord is using me here. Perfect. You're right. The Lord is needing people where you are right now, and the Lord puts you where you are for a reason. But make sure the Lord is keeping you there and is leading you to stay there and using you there. Be willing to be used by the Lord wherever you are. So why do we say this, talk about this missions work? We all know this term that we use, the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is still for today. It's for all of us. It has not expired. It's not in a pause during COVID-19 times. We still have the Great Commission that is valid for all of us. As we know, Matthew 28 tells us, and that's not our passage, I'm getting there. Matthew 28, verse 18, starts saying, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Other versions translate that idea of go therefore and make disciples in all nations. So that is the Great Commission right there. That's the command of the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. Make disciples. So this Great Commission was given by Jesus to his disciples. And it is our greatest mission, yours and mine. Our full-time job, as I always say, is to make disciples. And then we have other careers. And then we are doctors. Then we are dentists. Then we are lawyers and teachers. Make disciples is our first time, our full-time job. The other things, I always call them excuses that we have to share Christ with others. So, how are you fulfilling this Great Commission today? How are you obeying the Great Commission during COVID-19 times? You might have to be more creative these days to talk to people. You might have to think a little bit more how to share Christ with others, but you still need to be active in fulfilling his mission for us. Here in our church in Uruguay, back in March of 2020, we started studying the book of Acts as a church. The book of Acts gives us a wonderful picture of what the early church looked like, and we think today we are going through hard times with the whole situation, with the pandemic. But if you look at the church in Jerusalem, the early church, they were really going through hard times. They had a lot of trials and tribulations and crisis. And how did they respond to those trials? How did they respond to those problems that they were having? And how were they able to continue obeying the Great Commission that the Lord Jesus have given them not long before? So how did the early church serve even during their trials? So if we look at a passage in the book of Acts, and we're going to look at chapter 4, if you want to open your Bibles there. Acts chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 18. And if you look at that chapter 4, verse 1 to 31, basically this is speaking about the persecution of the church going through trials, difficulties, tribulations. And even though we don't like to say this, we have to accept that biblically, persecution, tribulation, trials are actually good. Trials are good. We don't like them, but trials produce this attested faith that produces endurance. According to James, James 1:2 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." And then in verse 12, he says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." So, we don't like trials, but the Lord uses those trials to produce something good in our lives. And this is what's happening with these believers in Acts chapter 4. So we're going to start reading verse 18. Peter and John got in trouble. They were put in jail. They were taken by the religious leaders. So in verse 18, they say, "So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard.' And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened." So this passage shows us that these believers, Peter and John, they did some good works. They helped a man. They were benefiting somebody. They got in trouble for preaching the gospel. People were praising God for what had happened. The authorities didn't like what they had seen, and they threatened them to stop preaching the name of that Jesus. And they say, "We cannot. We can stop. Sorry. We cannot stop speaking of what we have seen and heard." So I only have two simple truths for us tonight. Hopefully you will get this and take them with you home and meditate upon them. So two simple truths. The first one is this. You must obey God alone. And I like to say it that way, even though we understand that the Bible itself tells us to obey the authorities that we have upon us. He put authority over us for us to obey them. But our obedience is always to God and God alone. And then we will respond by obeying God too, with obedience to the authority. So verse 19 tells us, "But Peter and John answer to the authority, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge.'" So the authorities were listening to this and saying, "Are these people crazy? Don't they know that we can actually kill them? We can take their lives?" Peter and John knew this. They knew exactly the consequences of disobeying this order that they had received. But they understood that their mission was clear, and they were willing to die for that cause, the Great Commission. Interesting how Peter and John were told by the authorities, stop speaking, stop preaching. And today, everywhere in the world, you have to tell Christians what? Please speak. Please preach. Please share Jesus with others. It's how we need to have the same passion that Peter and John had. And they had to be asked, stop doing this. And they were like, well, sorry, I cannot. We tried. We cannot stop speaking. This is not a political message. I know today everything is turned political. This is not a political message at all. That's not my interest. The example here is clear. What do you do when the authority over you tells you to do something that goes against what God told you to do, or against what God is telling you not to do? When the authority goes against what God is telling you to do, you always obey your higher authority, and that is God. And I am only sharing what these believers had to do and the example they give us here. Because the cause of Christ was more important than their own lives, and they were willing to die for the cause of Christ. So they decided to obey God over obeying men, over obeying the authority that was going against God. So that's the same for you and the same for me. The cause of the gospel, the mission you receive from Christ, is more important than my life, than your life, your own life. So make sure you have come to that conclusion. Make sure you live your life well, that it counts for glory. And as somebody said, make sure you know how to live, and make sure you know how to die for Jesus as well, if you have to. So Christ doesn't want to make your life easier. He wants to make your life count. So get ready to die well, if you have to die for Jesus, for what counts, for what matters. And that is the cause of the gospel. I like to see my life as a little piece of a puzzle. My family and I, we have many puzzles. Many years ago, my wife and I, we had 1,000, 2,000 pieces, puzzles. Now we went to like the 24 pieces or the 3,600 pieces. That's our level now with the children. So I find my kids putting these puzzles together. And the most frustrating thing when you're putting a puzzle together, what is it? You're missing a piece. At the end of the puzzle, you're missing a piece. Even though the whole puzzle is great, looks great, but it doesn't look completely great because you're missing that last piece. And you say, well, it's just one piece. But no, it's important. That piece is important to make the puzzle count and to make the puzzle look good. So I like to picture us Christians as a piece in the puzzle of God's plan. This wonderful plan of redemption that God has that includes believers. You are a piece in that puzzle. And I think we need to understand, not to think that we are more important than what we are, but to understand that God has a purpose for you, for your personal life. And many times I'm afraid Christians, some believers think, if I show up, it's okay. Or if I do this, if I don't do it, doesn't matter. It does matter. Because we all have a purpose and a reason why God brought us to His family and what we need to be doing as children of God. So you are that piece in this great puzzle called the redemption, the plan of redemption of God for all humanity. So since you have that peace and you're important, God's plan, make sure you are fulfilling what the Lord has called you to do wherever you are right now. So that's the first truth I want to share with you. make sure you obey God alone. Number two, you must preach Christ alone. So you obey God alone, preach Christ alone. And we find this in verse 20 and following. This is Peter and John answering. They said, "For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." The message was clear for them. The message was to share what they saw and what they heard. And they saw a sinless man that showed them the Father, a man that gave himself for people constantly serving others, putting other people first, and putting other people first to the end of his life, giving himself to die for the sins of the world. And they saw him die, and 3 days later, resurrect and come back to life. That's what they saw. But they also heard Jesus speaking, teaching many, many different times about this life and the life and life eternal, and explain all the teachings of the Old Testament and all the prophecies that spoke about him. He was telling them, pointing them to himself and explaining things. The message that Jesus shared with the disciples was powerful. And there was excitement in the message of Jesus to his disciples. The message of being part of this family of God, being in the kingdom of God, is exciting and powerful. That's the message of the disciples, what they were sharing with others. And when you and I, we share the message of Jesus with others, it is an exciting message. It must be exciting. There is hope when you share Christ with people. You must share this message, preaching Christ alone. Share the message of salvation in Christ alone. And share it in a clear way and with excitement. Share it at home with your family, with your kids. Sit down at the table when you're having dinner, after dinner, when you wait for your dessert. Just open the Bible. If you don't never do this, just start with one verse. Read one verse and pray together. Talk about it. Then read two verses, and then three and four and more. But start somewhere. Share Christ in your family. Share Christ with your extended family. Some of you have grandkids. Share Christ with them. Share with your co-workers, with your neighbors, with your friends. When you are excited about the message of salvation, and this is an exciting message, people will get excited. I don't know if you do this in your church, but sometimes we ask people to give a testimony, and somebody says, "Well, pray for so-and-so because I've been sharing Christ with this person. And then also pray for this other person because I've been sharing Christ with them or her." And then you listen to that and you're like, "Oh, wow, that's exciting." And also you start thinking, "When was the last time I did that? When was the last time I shared Christ with somebody?" When Peter and John were sharing Christ, their message was exciting. It was a clear message. It was a powerful message of redemption. Share that way with others. We see that when they came back to where the other believers were gathering, they were all getting together and praying together. These believers, they received the message, probably. Peter and John showed up and they said, "Well, this is happening, people. Maybe we should slow down a little bit. Let's not share Christ that much. Let's just go slow. Let's not be so visual here that they don't see us that much. So let's slow down." Absolutely not. When they came back, the believers, they didn't ask for the problems to go away, for the trials to disappear. They were more concerned about them being faithful to the call of God, for them to be faithful with the mission that God has given them of the Great Commission. So in verse 29 of Acts 4, verse 29 says, this is what they are praying. "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. So they, when they were in trouble and they were being persecuted and they got in trouble with the authorities, instead of slowing down, instead of hiding, they asked for boldness to continue preaching the gospel. This message of Christ alone is a message of salvation in Christ alone, and it's a very exclusive message. It's a message of exclusivity. And in these days, in the States, and in Uruguay as well, everybody talk about being inclusive. That we need to accept everybody's ideas, everybody's thoughts, they're all valid. But the gospel is not like that. The gospel is very exclusive. The salvation is in one person, and in one person alone. Jesus said himself, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He didn't say, I'm one way. Of all the ways that are out there, you can pick me. Or I am one truth of all the truths available. I am one. He didn't say that. He says, I am the only way to the Father. So the message is exclusive, and because it's so exclusive and requires exclusivity, it shocks the world. It's shocking to the world. The message is one of division. The message is such that one person that believes in it is completely changed. And sometimes when that change happens, the family is divided, and there is hate to those Christians that join this new way of thinking or believing. We know that we have that great commission given to us. And as we are working to make more disciples and sharing Christ along with people, 2 Corinthians 4 tells us that the devil, the enemy of God, is also working. And he tells us, Paul tells us, that the prince of this world put a veil in the eye, in front of the eyes of people, so they would not see the light of the gospel. It would not shine in their eyes. But in that same passage, Paul says that Christ is the one that removed that veil. And he's the one that brings light into people's lives. So we need to pray that God will give us the opportunities to share Christ, Christ alone, but also pray that God would do the work of bringing light and bringing understanding to people, and that they will come to Christ for salvation. We all remember the story, the parable, I should say, of the sower that is going through the fields and sharing, throwing the seed. And the story tells us that some seed ended up in good ground, others in not good ground. We know the story. The lesson of that parable is that we just need to go and throw the seed. Sometimes we get too concerned about, what is my technique for throwing the seed? Is it you throw it like from the top of your head, like under? Is it this way that I throw? I'm not very comfortable throwing the seed. I better not. I better just wait until I get a little bit better. Just throw the seed. Just share Christ with people. Don't be so concerned on how you do it. If you have the opportunity to learn how to share Christ with others, get better. For sure, improve. But the reality is that we are called, we are required by God to share the gospel. Throw the seed, and God will do the work. He's the one that brings life to people. There's nothing that you and I can say that will convince somebody for their need of a Savior if God is not working in their hearts. So I encourage you, just go ahead, throw the seed. Maybe you're not an expert in preaching. None of us are. I had the opportunity to share Christ yesterday. We went out, shared Christ with people in a park. And when you talk to people, you realize how spiritually dark people are. You have no idea. People talk, they told me all crazy stuff that they believe in instead of believing the Bible. They believe in all kinds of crazy things. And the only thing that you say, wow, Lord, you need to be working in their hearts and bringing life to these people because they're completely lost. Let me just share one more thing, one more passage. In Acts chapter 7, verse 58, we see one of these believers that understood the Great Commission clearly. And in Acts 7:58, we read this, "And cast him out of the city and stone him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." We see this great example, this martyr, first martyr of the church, Stephen. And we see what he was willing to do in order to share Christ with others. This was the early church. This was the church that was serving Christ in the midst of trials and difficulties. These were the Christians of the early church. Sometimes I wonder why our churches today are not like this church. And I think it begins with individually, each one of us understanding that we need to be like these believers, these disciples even, willing to share Christ, willing to sacrifice, even if it's even your life, and make sacrifices for the advancement of the kingdom. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for this time. Thank you for each one of the believers there in New Jersey, in Hardingville. Bless them greatly. Thank you for that church. Thank you for their faithfulness throughout the years and for their ministry and for their being a lighthouse in that area. I pray that you use them greatly and that you be raising disciple makers from that church that will be reaching their community with the gospel. I pray for many missionaries to come out of that church to share Christ around the world with other people. Thank you again for all your blessings. Thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ, the reason we live for every day. And we pray that you help us to be faithful until the end. Thank you again for all your blessings. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.